Well, welcome to Keep the Republic. This is Dr. Daniel Obinsky. Thank you so much for tuning in. And I just want to say, if you've been reading the news at all, if you've been outside of under a rock the past couple of days, you probably know that the left is trying to perp walk President Trump. They want to come arrest him and take him down, make a big media circus out of it. And frankly, I've got several feelings about this, several thoughts about this that I want to share with you, but most important on our show today is Colonel John Mills, who's written a book about what we need to do to save this country. And he's got some thoughts also on what we need to do to with the President Trump situation. We'll be talking the entire hour today with Colonel John Mills. So you're going to want to hear this because I've read his book. You're going to want to read his book. This is stuff that we need to do to save this country. So call your friends, get them tuned in. This is the show you want to hear. We'll be right back with more Keep the Republic right after this.
Mike Adams here with an operator, a deployment leader on the Texas southern border who's been using these satellite-based bivvy sticks for very effective communications. And he's here just to give us a few words about how these bivvy sticks are operating, how it's helping he and his team members. And remember, these are available through the satellite phone store, sat123.com. It's satellite-based text messaging. Works when no cell towers work or aren't reachable.
We use these to communicate GPS cords to when we are seeing drug runners or people carrying stuff. We've had, you know, bust up to 13,600 pounds worth of marijuana and fentanyl that we have been on operations with in conjunction with federal agents and supporting them in their operations.
So they are pro-America and pro-humanitarian in helping to keep our country and our community safe. Everybody, God bless America. Take care.
This was made possible by Brighteon.com. After being deplatformed by YouTube, I built Brighteon.com so that we can speak. All voices of dissent are welcome. Join Brighteon.com now. Post your videos today and start building an audience there where you will not be censored. Brighteon.com.
The world we once knew is collapsing. We're being warned to expect rolling blackouts, and our political leaders are deliberately shutting down pipelines, fuel refineries, nuclear power plants, and energy exploration. The currency is collapsing, while financial assets are plummeting in value, and the global food supply is being deliberately decimated. To survive this war being waged on humanity, you need more than just regular prepping. You need resilient prepping. And that's the title of my new free audiobook, Resilient Prepping. You can download the entire audiobook and a printable PDF transcript for free right now at resilientprepping.com. Resilient Prepping teaches practical strategies for prepping in three layers: high-tech, low-tech, and no-tech. Resilient Prepping is your ultimate guide to surviving the total collapse of the world as we know it, because that's exactly what globalists are trying to achieve. Download this entire audiobook for free right now at resilientprepping.com.
The Kelly Key easily converts your AR rifle to bolt action, allowing you to keep the rifle you love in assault weapon jurisdictions. The Kelly Key is a true fast drop-in solution. No permanent changes to your rifle. Import, transport, own, and have fun with your AR. Why the Kelly Key? Because a bolt action is not an assault weapon. Stay future ready from gun bans with a Kelly Key. The Kelly Key also lets you quickly and easily build your ideal hunting rifle, lets you build a quietest suppressed rifle, and benefits your long-range precision shooting. Available now at KellyKey.com with free shipping.
Welcome back to Keep the Republic. Dr. Daniel Bobinski here. And as I said at the top of the show, and if you've not called your friends yet, call your friends and tune into this show, because this is what I'm talking about: getting stuff done at the local level. Our guest today is Colonel John Mills, who's got a book out that talks about exactly that, but he's also very steeped in what was happening in Washington, D.C. 33-year career in the military. Spent a lot of time in the White House, spent a lot of time in the Pentagon, knows the inside workings of how it goes, and he's seen the deep state from the inside. In fact, in his book, he even says he was part of the deep state and didn't even know it. Finally, you know, kind of came to and realized what was going on and got super red-pilled. I think he always kind of was red-pilled, but now he's super red-pilled. And he's out there as an evangelist for what we need to do to save this country. John Mills is the author of the book, as you just saw, Nation Will Follow. He's the former director of cybersecurity policy at the Department of Defense. And again, you're going to want to order this book and get it. You can get it not just in the print version, but also in the audiobook version. And it's a fast, easy read. And I don't mean super fast. I think I listened to it. I put it on 1.5 speed on my audiobook, and I had it done in less than 5 hours. Super informational. Let's just bring the Colonel on. Colonel, welcome to Keep the Republic. Thanks for coming on.
Hey, thank you, Dan. An honor to be on your show, an honor to meet you.
Well, it's an honor to have you on the show, because as I went through your book, I'm going, my gosh, you'd be welcome at our dinner table anytime talking about the things you're talking about and how to save the country. I'm a guest, a regular guest on Alan Key's show once a month. And, you know, I'm always talking about how we need to be involved at the local level. That's my mantra. If we don't make a change locally, then the deep state is so deep. Well, you said it in your book, you know, the deep state is so deep that you're not going to fix it from the top. Just give us a little bit on that before we jump into the President Trump stuff going on right now.
Yeah, thank you, Dan. Well, I mean, there has to be a fight at the top inside the Beltway in D.C., of course. And that's where, like in the book, I didn't realize I was in the swamp. And then I did. I did realize it. But really, the swamp is built upon and stands upon, in our constitutional republic, upon the shoulders of the 3,300 county equivalents across the nation. That's how the swamp is built. And the problem was, and that's what I was a national security professional facing the outward threat for 35, 40 years. And I didn't realize my own county had been deep red at one time, but I wasn't involved. I didn't care. I wasn't interested. Why should I care about a school board meeting? Our kids go to Christian school or we homeschool. Who cares about the county council? Who cares? I'm just uninterested. That's the problem. They stole the country. They stole the country while everybody was taking care of God, family, and country. Those are the right priorities. But part of that calculus means, right, Romans 13, you got to spend time in government. You got to spend time holding government accountable. And at these 7 centers of gravity in every county, school board, county council, election board, registrar or equivalent, the judges, sheriffs, and prosecutors, hold them accountable. Show up to these meetings. Ask questions, because that's the problem. People were not doing that, but we learned a hard lesson in 2020. That's where the corruption and the cancer begins.
It's almost catastrophic, if you ask me, because there's no recourse for this. I don't think our founding fathers realized that this kind of catastrophe could happen. And yet here we have it. And I'm going to go back, you know, call me a tinfoil hat guy if you want, but I mean, I still don't believe the Barry Sotero birth certificate situation. There's no clause in there. When you look at the evidence, and WorldNet Daily did a really good job of this, of digging down deep and showing how all these letters of approval that have to be written by the Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi at the time, you know, authorizing all this stuff. And yet for Hawaii, there was one different type of letter. It was all worded very differently. Different states had it different. And so it just, there's all sorts of, I guess you could say, circumstantial evidence that points to the fact that we've had several elections at the national level that have been screwed over. To your point, being asleep at the wheel, right? We're kind of going through life and we're going to the soccer games and we're shopping and we're watching football and we're having life. There was a state legislator in my state who came to me and said, you don't realize that we've got a swamp here in this state. And we really need to take care of it here too. And I didn't think much of it. But then I started hanging out down at the state capitol and talking with people. And my eyes were really opened. Oh my gosh, the swamp is really, really deep. So here you get red-pilled. You explain how in your book, by the way. But what motivated you to go ahead and write the book?
I wanted to get the message out there. I mean, I identified a lead in it about Whitaker Chambers. Whitaker Chambers, for those who don't remember or not old enough or not students of history, was somebody who grown up in kind of the elite, Ivy League educated, became a communist, became kind of the inner circles, and then converted, became a confessed believer in Christ and outed his fellow communists at State Department in the late 1940s. And I said, you know, this is really, his book, Witness, is a seminal journey and foundation. And I think it's an incredible book. And that's where I really, as I thought about this, I said, this is really in many ways a Whitaker Chambers journey to finger and out many people that I worked with, I trusted, I looked up to, were mentors, and I realized they're in on the steal. They're in on the swamp. And it's the, come on, John, just go along with the flow here. Come on, let's retire from government, get a nice cushy job, and come on, just don't rock the boat. Come on, this is the way. You know, Donald J. Trump was, you know, upsetting the money changers' carts and the tables, and tables in the temple here. Come on, John. Come on. No, absolutely not. This is wrong. The American people own the American government. It's not the other way around. And I think it's shameful that those who work in government, as civilians, as careerists, as political appointees, as uniformed military, as contractors, don't ever forget the government is owned and reports to the American people. No matter how hick, hayseed, uneducated, doesn't matter. They own the government. They own the American system. It's not the other way around. And our system, it's the most closest to perfect form of governance that's ever been created. It's imperfect, but it's the most perfect. And if we allow this to be thrown into the trash bin of history, we'll never get this back.
It's imperfect, but it's the best imperfect out of all the imperfect systems. There's words to that effect. But so here we have, I mean, I wanted to talk to you about the Trump situation, because here we got this guy out of New York, a district attorney, funded by George Soros. And I'll touch about that in a second. But everybody was saying, oh, Tuesday, he's going to be arrested and perp walked. And then it was supposed to be Wednesday. Well, today in the news, I come up with this. I saw this just popped up today at the grand jury hearing. Evidence of former President Donald Trump's alleged role in hush money paid to Stormy Daniels will not meet about the case for the remainder of the week. Sources familiar with the matter told ABC News. And then the article goes on to say that the grand jury's meeting Thursday to consider a different case. The grand jury is expected to reconvene Monday to reconsider the Trump case, or to consider the Trump case, at which time at least one additional witness may be called to testify, sources said. So we've got a reprieve, and I've been hearing that this is what they call a zombie case, because it was already dead. I mean, the federal decided to drop it. I mean, all the people decided to drop it, and it keeps coming back from the dead. What have you heard about this as to why this thing started?
Well, let's just, my book is about action at the local, the county or county equivalent. Alvin Bragg is a county prosecutor. He is being weaponized willfully by the deep state to go after Donald Trump. We have everybody says the Manhattan DA, and most people don't even know what a Manhattan DA means or is. He's a county prosecutor. He's a county prosecutor, and he's being weaponized to take down a president, unprecedented in American history. But just remember, it was, I think it was Tarrant County in Texas, a county prosecutor went after Tom DeLay in the mid-2000s, who was he wasn't the Speaker of the House. I think he was the number two in the Republican House. Again, a clearly weaponized event and situation. Red team, wake up, get in the game, and start fighting back. This is lawfare by proxy. Come on. Same thing in Georgia. They're weaponizing a county prosecutor. It's unprecedented to go after a president. And if they, I think they're in the end, they're going to, this is as much histrionics, PSYOP smoke and mirrors to distract. We got a in the presidency, we have somebody who doesn't even realize they're encumbering the seat half the time. It was clearly, look at Schweitzer's book. There's, at this point in time, any reasonable person who doesn't believe they haven't taken money from the Chinese. I mean, now we Comer in the House has the evidence, like $1 million wire to the family. And, you know, oh, by the way, Joe is taking a $250,000 home equity loan against his house. I mean, after all these millions the Chinese gave to him, I mean, if he has to get $250,000, I mean, he's obviously can't handle his own finances, much less the country's finances. So this is ridiculous. And they will rue the day if they will go through with this. This is just like some of the rule changes they made in the Senate. They will rue the day. It'll be a dark, dangerous day in American history if they try to go through with this.
Reading that this is a weapon of mass distraction, that this whole thing is, as you said, you know, here's Biden's, all this money coming into the Biden crime family, all the evidence coming forth. So what do? You distract. It's a misdirection to try to get the attention of the American people away from what's happening with the Biden crime family. And I don't say that phrase lightly. When I say the Biden crime family, I really do believe that that is a crime family. And you can even watch early on in some of his early interviews when Joe Biden was a young senator. And I watched an interview where somebody was saying, well, I'm so glad to have an honest senator in here. And he corrected the interviewer. Don't think I'm all that honest. I'm going, really? He just admitted that? Even then, he admitted that. So he's got a lot of corruption. You take a look at what happened with Ukraine back when he was vice president. So much going on. But, you know, I'm going to ask the producer, and I did not prep him for this, but if he could look up an article that I wrote for Uncover DC back in 2019 called The Curious Case of George Soros in Virginia. If he wants to pull that up, maybe we can show that, because there's lots of good information in that article. It's called The Curious Case of George Soros in Virginia. Now, you mentioned George Soros has been back in this county prosecutor. This article that I wrote in 2019, and here we go, is about four county prosecutors in the state of Virginia who were funded by George Soros. And I remember reading this article, this piece where, you know, George Soros funded prosecutors. And I rolled my eyes, Colonel, and I'm thinking, okay, so what? I mean, if 100,000 people gave $5 each to these people, and George Soros was one of those guys that gave $5, you could claim it was funded by George Soros. So I rolled my eyes, and I'm going, I want to find out really what's going on. I did some research. The research is in that article, how he started, well, okay, he didn't start it. Someone from Perkins Coie started a PAC, a super PAC. Who funded that super PAC to help those four county prosecutors? One person, one entity, the Open Society Foundation. George Soros funded over $2 million to help four people get elected to county prosecutor positions in Virginia. And what you're saying, and by the way, they didn't win by much. They won by like one and a half point win. So if they didn't have that money, they would have lost in a landslide. Your book talks about how we need to get involved at the county level. That wouldn't have happened if we had strong patriots doing that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I live in Virginia. I live in Prince William County. We used to be a deep red county. 2008, a known communist named Steve McClure, who does his PhD, still working on his PhD, is my understanding, both curiously enough in Wuhan, China, and at George Mason University in Fairfax County, where General Hayden is one of the seniors at the Schar School for International Work. So Steve McClure started this Turn Virginia Blue project, communist, a known, self-declared communist, 2008, and we lost everything between 2008 and 2019, and that's where I was so, the Republican Party was so feckless and ineffective that I just said, get out of my way, don't even bother me. And I just started, teaching myself. Just I've had to, working at the National Security Council of the White House. You're always handed a hard problem set at the top of the Pentagon or the White House. It gets to you because it doesn't fit anywhere else, and nobody else has figured it out. So you have to be self-motivated to learn new and different things. And that's where I started tearing into the selection thing and understanding mechanics and realizing I knew nothing about, I thought I knew things about election. I didn't know nothing about elections. And that's where I start going after my my registrar. Now she's I was able to force her out. She's under criminal indictment, two felony counts for fraud in the 2020 election for mishandling artifacts. Nasty woman who just sent some uncivil emails to me. But I just chomped down like an alligator and I wouldn't let go. And I was like Columbo. I just kept coming back with question after question. And she immediately was started really putting herself in hot water. And there's only one person perfect in the room. And now she's has two felony counts against her. And you gotta get involved and start doing your homework. And you gotta start reading these laws. Everybody says, I need a lawyer. I said, that is the worst thing to do is to bring in a lawyer. I mean, I've gone to court myself for cases. And the judges normally, as long as you follow decorum, and they'll give you some hints when you're not following decorum, are actually pretty good with a well-meaning citizen who has taken the time to study and learn and understand a bit. A lawyer is a total waste of time and money. And just read the law. It's not in Latin. Read the law. If you can read English, you can read the law. And because our legislators sure don't. And oftentimes our judges don't. So get in, do it yourself. Do it yourself and read the law and start asking. Go to the school board meeting. And this is my test. If any of these things discussed at any of these meetings doesn't make sense to the average citizen, then it probably doesn't make sense and needs to be challenged and questioned.
Mm-hmm. And it is a thing that we can do, get involved, read the law. And I think the Constitution, as you said, is not read. The laws are not read. I was shocked to find out that legislators are not required to know the Constitution. They're not required to even read it. They're not required to take a test on it. They're not required to understand it. They just go to wherever their state or the Washington, D.C., and they start passing laws and making stuff up, and suddenly that's why we have so much stuff that's not constitutional. It's because the people who wrote it weren't even aware of the Constitution when they wrote it. They weren't thinking that way. And so, and I remember, you know, you were military, I'm ex-military. I remember when I first got in, one of the guys told me, said, you know, study the UCMJ, study the Uniform Code of Military Justice, know it, because that, if you know that, if someone tries to pull something on you, you're going to be able to stand up and say, right here, I have this right. So it's the same thing, you know, understand the Constitution. It's not hard. You can even find it online for free. Go figure.
Bible memorization is an excellent thing, but always pull out the Bible, read it. Regulations, always read. Anybody who says, I know what the regulation says, I said, oh, really? Let's get the regulation out and read it together. And probably about 7 times out of 10, it's sure not exactly what they think it says. So this is, ladies and gentlemen, pull out that regulation, pull out that law and read it. And, you know, I had 3 GOP lawyers coming after me one time at an hour. I said, I will wait here till hell freezes over, counselors, till you give me a citation. Finally, I warmed down and they gave me a citation. I said, okay, let's read it. Oh, no, we're too busy. Right? No, we're going to read it right here. Right, the 4 of us right now are going to read it. It wasn't anywhere close to what they said. It was totally the wrong citation. It was about election law in Virginia. And I said, you guys gave, I would have, you know, and I'm a university professor too. And I would have, you flunked you immediately. You gave me not even close. It was a totally wrong citation. It's also could be called lying. So don't ever take it. Pull out the rhythm. The sacred master chief comes up to you and says, I know what the regulation says. Oh, really, Master Chief? Let's see what the regulation says. And, you know, so that's, I'm always very careful about, I know what the regulation says. I'm always saying, I tell you what, why don't we get out the regulation and read it together and see what it says? It's always a very wise move.
Speaking of the law, part of the law is that if a prosecutor has exculpatory evidence on a defendant, they are supposed to provide that information to the defense. That's law. That's not how things are supposed to happen. So I got this quote. I asked the producer to pull this up. This is a quote from Greg Jarrett, who's author of the book, The Russia Hoax, but he was talking this past week. He said, I mentioned it yesterday when Bob Costello, who is an attorney for Donald Trump, got into the grand jury room because he testified to the grand jury, and he told them, quote, wait a minute, you don't have the hundreds of pages that I handed over to Alvin Bragg, who is the county prosecutor we're talking about here. He says, you have only six cherry-picked documents. You know, hiding from grand juries exculpatory information is reprehensible and unconscionable. And I would say, yeah, and against the law, too. And then he goes on to quote the guys who were actually working for this Alvin Bragg guy and quit and wrote a book. It says, the conduct of Alvin Bragg and his henchman Mark Pomeranz, who specifically says in his book, quote, we're targeting zombies because we don't like his beliefs. They're speaking about the zombie cases against Donald Trump. These are old cases that just are dead. They keep bringing them back. These guys should be facing disbarment proceedings. We're coming up on the bottom of the hour, Colonel. We need to take a break. But what's happening to Donald Trump is just, it is sinful, if you ask me. And it's a distraction. And now Donald Trump has come out and said that he's got a 10-step plan for how to get rid of the deep state. Well, as I mentioned at the top of the hour, Colonel Mills was in the deep state. And so I want to pick his brain in the second half of the show to find out what he thinks about Donald Trump's 10-step plan. We'll be back with more Keep the Republic right after this.
If you don't want to eat GMOs and pesticides in your storable food, choose organic, lab-tested storable food solutions from the Health Ranger store. We are the only emergency food manufacturer in the world that subjects each of our ingredients to rigorous laboratory testing that covers herbicides, heavy metals, aflatoxins, identity testing, and bacteria tests, including E. coli, salmonella, yeast, and mold. At healthrangerstore.com, you'll find certified organic, lab-tested, freeze-dried fruits, microalgae superfoods, protein powders, and supplements. We offer emergency first aid colloidal silver products made with Texas rainwater, and our Ranger buckets feature an impressive assortment of organic storable food items professionally vacuum sealed in heavy-duty bags that are stacked in rugged buckets for long-term storage. Check out our preparedness foods, supplements, personal care, and emergency first aid products at healthrangerstore.com.
This was made possible by Brighteon.com. After being deplatformed by YouTube, I built Brighteon.com so that we can speak. All voices of dissent are welcome. Join Brighteon.com now. Post your videos today and start building an audience there where you will not be censored. Brighteon.com.
Mike Adams here with an operator, a deployment leader on the Texas southern border who's been using these satellite-based bivy sticks for very effective communications. And he's here just give us a few words about how these bivy sticks are operating, how it's helping he and his team members. And remember, these are available through the satellite phone store, sat123.com. It's satellite-based text messaging. Works when no cell towers work or aren't reachable.
We use these to communicate GPS cords to when we are seeing drug runners or people carrying stuff. We've had, you know, bust up to 13,600 pounds worth of marijuana and fentanyl that we have been on operations with in conjunction with federal agents and supporting them in their operations.
So they are pro-America and pro-humanitarian in helping to keep our country and our community safe. Everybody got.
Welcome back to Keep the Republic. Daniel Bobinski here. We're talking with Colonel John Mills. But you know, one of the things you can do to help keep this network going and this show going is to shop at the Brighteon store, because the Brighteon store is part of the Brighteon network, which helps us, well, keep afloat. And when you shop, save yourself some money. Use the promo code KTR, stands for Keep the Republic. Makes it easy to remember. Stock up on all sorts of organic stuff, prepper stuff, things that you need. And I tell you, I shop there, my friends shop there, super high quality and guaranteed. None of what you buy will be made in China. I love that. So go ahead and shop at the Brighteon store. When you do, use the promo code KTR. KTR stands for Keep the Republic. Thank you. The Brightian Network thanks you and keeps us all going, like I said. Well, like I said, also, we're talking with Colonel John Mills. Let's see, now in the Navy, Captain would apply. But anyways, this is where you have the different services and the different terms for the same rank. Anyways, Colonel John Mills, welcome back to Keep the Republic. You spend a lot of time in D.C., working in the Pentagon, working in the White House, seeing the deep state from the inside. And this past week, Donald Trump came out with his 10 steps to get rid of the deep state. As you recall, he ran in 2016 on draining the swamp, a couple other things. Well, he surrounded himself with some people who got in the way of that. The swamp is huge, it's deep. And I wanted to go over some of these things with you and get your feedback. You okay with that?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. So here's the first thing on Trump's list. He says he wants to restore a 2020 executive order authorizing the president to fire rogue bureaucrats. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, we should call it the Fauci rule, first of all. I'm all for a professional, well-compensated civil service corps that is absolutely apolitical, nonpartisan, and trusted and professional. I'm all for that. It's like the thing in my international relations. I worked a lot with Singapore, and I love their model. They pay their bureaucrats very well, but they expect results and performance and absolute fidelity out of them. And I tell you, they have a ferocious, and I use their model. Essentially, we would call them an inspector general, but they have a ferocious anti-corruption inspector general that will, you better walk a straight line because they will get you. And I've talked a lot with them about it. And I said, yeah, we do too. And we call them Hawaii 5-0. They got a good laugh out of that. But I'm all for a professional civil service corps, but we have to have accountability mechanisms. We cannot let another Fauci situation to occur. The highest paid bureaucrat in American history. And he did whatever he wanted to do, said whatever he wanted to do. He was not elected. He was supposed to be a careerist professional civil service. And guess what? They are supposed to work for those who are retired. Those who are elected. So, you know, we got to do something about that.
Yeah. So, one of the problems is you could have a rotating thing. So President A from one party comes in and fires everybody. And then President B comes in 4 years later and fires everybody. And keeping people apolitical, how do you do that? I mean, everybody's going to have some sort of value system. They're going to lean one way or the other. They can say that they're not. They do. So, what do you do with, bless you, sir.
What do you do about it? Oh, excuse me. Well, I think we have to be serious about this. I mean, I saw those who were able to be very, excuse me. Some were able to be very professional at all times. I had one colleague who I worked with for years, who I just thought the world of. And actually, after I left government, I talked to him, and he was on the totally opposite side of the political spectrum from me. I was shocked, but he was always a professional about it. And I never once saw him do anything that hinted of politicism. You have to be very serious about this, and you cannot. But I saw more often than not, and especially as you rose up higher in the ranks, I saw this. Excuse me, I got to take a drink of water here.
No problem. As you're doing that, I remember working with some people in the Department of Labor in my state, and I remember during the Obama years, during the election cycle, they would walk around with Obama pins on their clothes while they were at work in a state building doing state work. They're campaigning for Obama. And I found that to be quite offensive. So, you know, you go back to how do you deal with people who are political? And like you said, you got to have some people who are very applicable. They're going to follow those rules. Here's the job description. Do the job. I guess there's going to be have to be some sort of thinking as to how do you keep people that way instead of letting them become political.
And he was on the totally opposite side of the political spectrum from me, to no question about it. And he was so professional. Him and I worked together so well. And I've always been very, I'm not going to name his name, but he was just a consummate professional, and actually was very good at protecting me sometimes from some of the crazies in the bureaucracy. But him and I were totally on opposite ends, and yet we had a very good relationship. But I think, unfortunately, those two that I've mentioned were the exception. And we've just got to be extremely disciplined. And you know, I probably maybe sometime was, I always tried to keep it very nonpartisan. I always tried to keep it nonpartisan. Maybe I was sometimes unguarded in some of my comments, but I really did my best to try to keep civil and at all times. And I think, but I saw a lot of things that as it went on, and I realized a lot of the seniors are such, and a lot of them, you call them the 14s, the 15s, mm-hmm. and then you hit senior executives. And I think it got really bad in the senior executive corps. And I think that's actually the worst part is the senior executive corps, which are the civilian generals. Right. And I think that's the worst part. And I think that's the first place we need to look is the what we call the senior executive corps.
Well, that kind of ties into the second point on Trump's list here. It says to reform federal departments and agencies and fire all the corrupt actors in our national security and intelligence apparatus. A lot of them there. And there's a lot of people. I mean, I've talked to some people in those agencies who tell me that the top three levels of all the agencies are all pretty much corrupt. Even at the State Department. And so everybody's got dirt on everybody else and everybody knows what's going on. And so, you know, reform those departments. You've heard a lot of talk in the past couple of months about having to get rid of the FBI. Well, you're not going to get rid of the FBI. That's going to be darn near impossible. But how would you reform something like that? You'd have to really gut a lot of people to do that.
Yeah, a lot of people don't understand this concept. I think it was Rush Limbaugh. I'll attribute it to him. It's very hard to get away from bureaucracy, but I think a wise model is to, you do have to create a new agency, and you feed the new agency, you starve the old agency. I think it's a very wise model of how you just let something die away, and then it becomes the Railroad Retirement Fund board or something like that. And the IC and the law enforcement is the worst. I think we really have to start from scratch on the FBI and the CIA. And I've spent a lot of time with both of those agencies. And I think we need to really create a new agency, starve the old, feed the new.
I like that a lot. And I'm going to jump ahead down to number six on Trump's list. Terry says to decouple, because the reason I want to do this is something you mentioned earlier. Decouple the inspector general's offices from the departments that they oversee so that they don't become protectors of their agency, so that they're separate. And I guess my question for that is, what prevents them from becoming part of the deep state anyways?
That's a hard one. I kind of, IGs, senior IGs for departments and agencies, we got 15 departments, hundreds of independent agencies, often are actually political appointees, but they actually kind of, they are supposed to and often do act impartial, even against when their own people are from their side of the aisle or in office. But I think people sometimes expect miracles out of inspector generals. So we need to gate and we need to kind of manage our expectations, but at the same time, I think a number of times IGs do slow roll and slow walk of issues. Most IGs, a lot of people don't realize this, are badged and armed. A lot of people don't realize that because they are essentially a law enforcement element. But I do like the idea of separating them from their that, you know, just like Singapore, creating an independent anti-corruption element.
I like what you're talking about. Makes a lot of sense. Several things on here as I'm going through this list could be solved by doing this, what you described that Rush Limbaugh's suggestion was to create a new agency, feed it, starve the old one, bring about something new. I'm not sure that could happen inside of a four-year time span, but it'd be nice if it could, and at least get the ball rolling, one would hope. We've got about 10 minutes left in the show, and I've been bragging on your book, and I was at dinner last night with some friends, and I told them the same thing. I said, you got to get this book. And I want to ask the producer to put the cover back up again, because this is, again, a book that people need to get and read. The Nation Will Follow. Okay, it seems kind of like a weird title, right? The Nation Will Follow. The Nation Will Follow what, right? That's what the book's about. And Colonel, in that book, you talk about getting back down to the grassroots level. Here's Donald Trump. He's talking about changing stuff at the top. He's got these 10 things to help get rid of the deep state. Colonel, you're talking about from the bottom. So, okay, let's just hope that Trump gets reelected and he can start chipping away some things at the top and squeezing down this way. Wouldn't it be nice to fight the deep state on two fronts? Now, your book's about doing it from the grassroots level. Now, I've seen that happen successful. Tell us a little bit about the structure of your book and what people can do locally.
Yeah. Well, that's secure your county and the nation will follow. Secure your account, because every citizen wants to know, what can I do? What can I do? What can I do? It's a swamp in D.C. I said, that's right. It is a swamp in D.C. Focus on where you live. Every citizen, what do I do? I said, get involved in these stupid, boring meetings. This is where the cancer begins. This is where it all starts. And because most citizens are not even showing up, much less actually asking a reasoned, thoughtful question. So get involved, these seven centers of gravity, school board, county council, election board, registrar, judges, sheriffs, prosecutors, attend these meetings, get to know these personalities, ask them questions, because to be honest, they rarely are getting any feedback or questions. Secure your county and the nation will follow. Right now, the entire nation is wrapped around the fingers of three corrupt counties, Maricopa in Arizona, Fulton in Georgia, and Philadelphia in Pennsylvania. So we've got to fight for those counties.
Yes. So to your point, we've got a gal that moved here. She's a political refugee from one of the three provinces of Western Libertarity on the West Coast, moves to Idaho. She's just a fireball. She's a firebrand. She just wants to get in there and make a difference. And she was going to, you know, start doing things at the state level, and solid Christian. She's praying and she feels like God says, take care of your own backyard. So she took that as fix the county. And she did. She came in. The county she was in was run by establishment Republicans. And in our state, this is amazing. We have a 4-to-1 ratio of registered Republicans to registered Democrats. That's huge. Well, the Democrats and the left-leaning people in this world have figured out that if you want to run for elected office in our state, you have to put an R after your name to do that. And they do. And so we have a whole bunch of establishment squishy rhinos in this particular, well, throughout the state, but especially in this particular county where she was. She got in there and she rallied a couple, half a dozen people who rallied another half a dozen people each. And they got that whole county turned around this last election. They took it over. It's now a staunchly conservative county.
There you go.
Your book goes beyond just doing that, which you have to do. And I talk about precinct committeeman positions all the time. It's more, so much power there. But your book also talks about the elections and being rabidly focused on elections. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, and this is the concept. Again, I have to bring up the precinct project is great, is awesome. I talk about the seven governance centers of your county. The precinct project and a GOP is an eighth. That isn't the eighth element. That's your political party. I don't really talk about that because I know the precinct project is really addressing the GOP. But it was the GOP who fought me when the registrar resign. I got a nasty letter from the GOP. And so, and I forced out two GOP chairs in a row just because they were spying. The Democrats weren't even saying boo to me. It was the GOP, GOPers. So that's an eighth course. That's an eighth line of effort is the precinct project. But on this is when I kept on bashing my GOP about sworn election officials and working behind the counter at elections. They go, oh, why do we need to do that? We have these election observers. And it's like, yeah, totally worthless. Totally worthless. American citizens, which do you think is more important? Working behind the counter counting the votes or being some amorphous person who wanders around being an elected observer? Which is more important, in front of the table or behind the table counting the votes? You want to be a sworn election official. And it took me about 4 years to bash the GOP, but we didn't have equivalency. In Virginia, you have to have equivalency on sworn election officials who they're, you know, temporarily deputized citizens who come in, take an oath of office to run the election. Most of those are just basic citizens. And for some reason, this was just, they couldn't understand the concept. But for 2004, I've been a sworn election officer. 80-20, we can't find a Republican behind the counter. And what's going on here? So it took a long time to get people involved. So that's what, first and foremost, depending on your county structure and rules in your state and your county, get behind the counter and work running the elections and right. Start understanding, you know, what processes. So if things are not following the process, I don't understand the process. And then you start questioning, well, who's not following the process and what's not being followed and why aren't they? And how do I challenge that? Do I challenge it? Do I go to a judge? Do I go to the sheriff? Get to know your sheriff. I talk to my sheriff regularly. Talk to your sheriff. Sheriff is very influential. You don't like something? Bring somebody to court. Last time I brought somebody to court, it cost me $80. I'm sure the group can scrape together $80 to bring somebody into court if they think somebody's not following the law as one of the election officials. So that's where you've got to get behind the counter on elections, understand the process in detail, and understand where your process is broken. And a lot of times it's laws that are vague. So sometimes you need to encourage your legislature for new laws that have more specificity. Because you have vague laws and the local registrar who runs elections can do what they want because you have vague laws. Well, you got to get that fixed.
Mm-hmm. Well, to your point, I've got a friend who decided to do just that. And she got in there and she was a vote counter and she was looking at all the ballots coming in. And she was surprised at the overwhelming number of people working there who... at first glance, you could obviously tell that they were not on the same team as you and me. They were definitely working for the other side. That was the mindset. And when one is not accountable to a holy God, okay, you know, who knows your every thought, your every motive. If you don't have that accountability, then cheating is very much an option for some of those people. So you have to have the morals and the ethics in place. And one of the things, you know, we as you point out, you know, we have let on these people who get elected and they're elected office and that's their job. We say, oh, that's their job. That's what they get paid for. I'm not getting paid to do that. That's their job. No, as you point out, this is our government. It's a bottom-up government. We are the one. And even if we don't get paid, so what? If we care about our country, we need to get involved. If we sit back and say, oh, that's his job, and then he screws it all up and we ended up with Joe Biden in office or somebody else, and we sit back at our keyboards and we're keyboard warriors and say, someone needs to fix that. It's like, well, no kidding. But sitting behind your keyboard typing that doesn't fix it. We've got to get out there and make a difference. In the closing minutes, one more thing, if you were going to ask people to read one or two chapters out of your book, which one or two would you tell them to read?
Oh, I think the one about a dinner in London, the conversation in the Pentagon, which really made me realize things, their conversation in the A-ring, I think those are the most important ones to kind of explain how I came to understand the deep state. And then the later chapters on the action plan for how do you start instilling and how do you start incorporating this into the your county. I think those are some of the most important ones.
I very much enjoyed reading your book, and I'm going to strongly encourage it. Colonel, if someone wants to get a hold of you, did you want to put out any website or any kind of thing, ways for people to get a hold of you?
Yeah. I mean, it's the website is thenationwillfollow.com, thenationwillfollow.com. And I mean, there's the email for me on that site. I'm also Colonel Rhett John on Getter, Colonel R.E.T. John on Getter and Truth. And that we can start communicating that way. I also run the National Election Integrity Association, so that website, NEIA.us, NEIA.us.
Sounds great. Colonel John Mills, it's been an honor to have you on the show today. Thank you so much for joining me.
Daniel, thank you very much. Looking forward to being on your show again. Thank you.
Well, there you have it. I want to strongly recommend you get that book and read it, share it with your friends. And go ahead and share this video with your friends. Let them see what's going on out there. If we don't get involved at the local level, well, then it's just going to collapse and we're going to be the victims of it. So it is our responsibility. You have been tuned in to Keep the Republic. I'm Dr. Daniel Bobinski. We'll see you next week. Until then, be blessed.